And today, our fourth lesson, if it's ready, we will talk about moving into praise. The Lord put this on my heart. If you can pull it up on there and there, we're getting ready for a move of God. How many's getting ready for a move of God? Well, hey, if you don't get ready, it may just pass you up. Here's something about God. He moves and he don't wait on anyone. But the ones that wait on him, how many know they shall see the Lord? We've been waiting and praying and believing. So we're moving forward the path of transformation. He is taking us from glory to glory. You understand, he's moving us, teaching us, growing us, leading us, precept by precept, line upon line. He's not finished with us. He's moving us forward. And how many know the best days are ahead? So the time for a move of God, we need to move into freedom. We need to move into miracles. We need to move into mission. And today, 1 Chronicles 4, 9, and 10, we're moving into praise. So if you want to stand, you can, or you can stay seated. We're just going to read the word together. And if you can read the word with Pastor here, we will ask God's blessing upon this lesson. You've heard of the prayer of Jabez. It's found in 1 Chronicles 4, 9, and 10. The book Prayer of Jabez came out by Wilkinson back in 2000. That's how old it is. I read it. I read the series in the Vine. I read all of the whole thing. It was really, really incredible. Great stuff on intimacy with God, prayer. And praise is an avenue of prayer. Praise is prayer extended. Or praise is prayer extended. Amen? And so here it is in verse 9, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. So that tells me he had a little bit of dysfunction in the family. Hey, you know, everybody has a little bit of dysfunction. I said every cow has a black spot on it or two. All right, so don't get holy. His mother had named him Jabez, saying or meaning, I gave birth to him in pain. Next slide, please. Jabez cried out to God, to the God of Israel. I mean, if you want something from the Lord, you might ought to learn how to cry out. Not just whisper, cry out. So he cried out to the Lord, and this is what he said. This week we'll deal with moving into praise. Next week we'll move into prayer. But he said, oh, that you would bless me. Not only would you bless me, Lord, would you enlarge my territory. And let your hand be with me. How many like the hand of the Lord to be with you? And keep me from harm. Keep me from harm. And then he gives the reason why. So, a little old two-letter word, so. So what? So that I will be free from pain. And look at this. And God granted his request. Give the Lord praise for the word of the Lord today, and let's ask God to bless this word. Father God, open our eyes. Jesus, please open our eyes to the lies of Satan and the truth of God's word. Help us walk away from this place changed today. Anoint this message, anoint this lesson, anoint your people and your servant so that we can walk away transformed by the glory of God. Move in our midst in Jesus' name. And everybody said, wow. I know the Lord put this on my heart. I'm excited about it. It's God's spirit that placed in my spirit. It's not me, but him. And I pray it blesses your spirit today. So the prayer of Jabez. It's a storyline from the text here. It's quite interesting. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Told you that means probably some dysfunction in the home. He was an honorable person out of his. How many is the only one in your family? You're the only one saved. Let me see your hands. Yeah, one. One, rest of your whole family. Hey, I think that's an awesome testimony to have generation after generation after generation serving the Lord. How many are thankful for a godly heritage? But there are some of us that are first generation Christians. Some of us that were brought up in pain and dysfunction. And some of us had to praise our way. Amen? And so this is the story of Jabez. And his mother called him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Verse 10, he cried out to the Lord of Israel, God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be upon me. Keep me from harm, so I will be free from this pain. So the pain evidently, obviously, affected Jabez. But God granted his request. Can somebody say amen? So I want to dive into the word and see how Jabez got this place and how he was able to move into praise. Basically, there are four parts to the narrative here. Pain, first, he's born in it. Praise, he learned how to praise his way out. A powerful prayer, and then a miracle answer. That's it. If you're taking notes, you can always go back to that. But somehow, Jabez learned how to move from pain to praise. And I'm going to tell you something. As a born-again believer, you got to have to learn how to praise God anyway. Everything's not going to be peachy all the time. All of us have to deal with pain. We all face pain. In some sort of way or another, all of us have faced a little bit of dysfunction, right? And so how did he do it? Basically, is anybody here ever had to move into praise out of pain? I say, Pastor, is there any way we can eliminate pain? No, obviously not. Pain defined is a distressing feeling caused by intense or damaging stimuli. Everybody faces it. All of us are going to deal with it, right? But somehow Jabez learned how to move. And it's time for a move, amen, into praise. I said, is anybody ready to move from pain to praise? I believe somebody here today is going to get this. And it's time. It's time. Because so many people are living in pain. I said, for you to move from pain to praise, then somehow, something's going to have to happen. Your praise is going to have to speak louder than your pain. So Satan uses your pain against you. God uses pain for your favor, for your glory. Listen, for his glory, he's transforming us, and sometimes God uses pain to take us. You know when you grow the most? Do you know when most people are closest to the Lord? It's when they have seasons of pain. It's our trials. That's why James said, rejoice when you go through trials. God's working something greater out. Amen? And so you got to get this in priority. I hope y'all are getting this. When you get this, nothing's able to stop the move of God in your life. Pain comes to all of us. And God's going to do something, I believe, miraculously. And may he move you into praise to the point that God knows that you know. Not that you feel or hope or think, but that you know that you know that you know that God took you from darkness into light, from pain into praise. There's a transitional place. And praise is the vehicle that God can use, but you got to know it. Amen? He came to rescue you and bless you. Amen? He didn't come to hurt you or harm you. He's going to show up when you move into praise. So first thing we deal with is this pain. Jabez had no choice. His mom named him Pain. Now, I don't want anybody to show your hands, but how many has ever had a parent call you a pain? Hey, I remember, you know, maybe not intentionally, but I remember my mama saying, boy, that little boy can be a pain. Even as early as 5 years old, my mom's getting ready for church. Probably the only time they went to church. I don't remember. I was too little. But she bought me some new shoes, and she went to get ready and turned around, and I was standing in the toilet with my brand new shoe. That could be painful. But how many know your words have power? Life and death are the power of the tongue. And although she had pain in her birth, maybe it was the physical pain of birth, maybe it was some other issues in her family, internally, I don't know, relationally, I'm not certain, but so much pain that his mother had, she named him Pain. She took her trauma and transferred it over to her baby so that her baby was born in pain. And there's a culture today that's telling people this lie, and how many Oak Grove we choose not to believe it. Listen to this, that if you've been wounded, if you've had trauma, if you've had pain in your past, that you might as well get used to it and live with it. It's permanent. But how many know the devil is a liar? We're going to take our pain from our past, and we're going to transfer it. We're going to change our name from pain to praise. We're not going to be called Jabez. Because I didn't inherit that. He had no choice. His mama put her pain on him. Do you know anybody like that? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. But I'm sure if Jabez's case, that's who she chose to call him. She chose to call him pain. She could have called him blessed. She could have called him brilliant. She could have called him and named him chosen or gifted or anointed, but she called him pain. And now the next generation is carrying the pain from the previous generation. And God's saying, not on his watch. How many know God wants to bring a name change to somebody this morning? Somebody's about to get a transformation and a name change. Just because your dad was an alcoholic, don't make you an alcoholic. Just because your mom might have had trauma and pain, don't mean you need to be brought up in trauma and pain. I'm going to preach this. I don't care whether you respond or not. It got into my spirit. She called him everything. She called him pain. She could have called him anything else. But how many know the next generation has to carry the pain from the former? A distressing feeling caused by intense damaging stimuli. And when you feel pain, you have to, you know, naturally you have an inclination to do something about your pain, right? Everybody has it. You got to learn how to respond to it. You know how to deal with it, how to manage it. And mom made a choice as to how she was going to manage her pain, and that was to pass it along to Jabez and tag him with what caused her trauma. What's the point, Pastor? Jabez didn't get to choose his destiny. She did. Now, everybody goes through pain. Nobody's exempt. There's a physical pain, spiritual pain. Don't forget the mental pain, emotional pain, family pain, financial pain. Pain is real. We all have to deal with it. How many know sooner or later in your Christian walk, you're going to have to realize that Jesus saved you, but you're going to have to deal with pain, past, present, or even future. And this lie that Christians don't have pain, how many know that's another lie? But this counseling, and I praise God for counseling, psychology, Christians who can help counsel and bring hope and healing to people. But they're selling a message today that says if you've been traumatized, you might as well get used to it, live with it, be comfortable in it, because you're going to be there forever. How many know the devil is a liar? How many believe God can break that curse? How many know God can change the trajectory of your life if you learn how to take your pain and bring some praise? He can change your mind, your heart, your life. Some people live in pain. It can be inflicted on you by somebody else, trauma, abuse, all kinds of stuff. But we all have to make a choice as to what to do when we experience pain. So how do you manage it? How do you deal with it? Do you allow present pain to dictate your future destiny? A lot of people do in the church. So you hear me. This teaching has to be put to silence. Amen? Pain and suffering. They say somehow you're out of alignment with God's will because you have pain. In other words, some well-known preacher, teacher, says that if you have pain, you're living in sin. I say, what? I remember there was an evangelist came to our church, and my pastor's wife, Precious, some of y'all met her. We honored her at our mission trip, Sister Harden. She developed breast cancer. We had an evangelist came through, a flaming evangelist. And she was in the altar, and that evangelist laid hands on her and said, hey, honey, God will heal you. It's the sin in your life. If you get the sin out of your life, the Lord will heal you. I mean, oh, the devil is a liar. If she's a sinner, I don't know what you could call me. She's a holy woman of God. But that preacher was just ignorant. How many know there's some preachers are ignorant? Don't say amen to that. Telling people a lie. I said they're telling people a lie. Can I tell you what Jesus said? Jesus himself tells us it's a lie. He never said believers wouldn't suffer pain, but what he did say is that God can break the curse of pain and sin. He came to deliver us, amen? And there's purpose in pain. And praise is what God can use to break through the pain. John 16:3. In this world, Jesus said, you will have troubles, tribulation, much pain, but be of good cheer, take heart. That sounds like a different message, doesn't it? Learn how to transform from pain to praise. Be of good cheer. I've already overcome the world. Anybody believe that? There is a way out. I said, you can make it through. And our series text is from Isaiah, remember 43? Forget those former things that was. Amen? God's going to do a new thing. He's going to make streams in the desert. God's going to take all of those bad experiences and traumas and turn it into a testimony. That's what our God can do. Can somebody say amen for that? So you got to believe God that he can do the impossible. King David said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver him from them all. Hey, all's a big word. The Lord can deliver us from them all. I speak to every trauma in this place. How many know it has to go back in its place? Just because somebody traumatized me in my past doesn't mean my destiny is cut short. God's not deaf. He's not deaf. He can hear my cry, and he heard Jabez's cry. Are y'all hearing me today? And then 2 Corinthians 4:16, the Bible says about present pain, 4:16 through 18 is Christy's favorite verse. So what we shall suffer now, our current pain, is nothing compared to the glory that is coming our way. Somebody shout amen. You got to change your perspective, change your position. You got to change your attitude. For the things that happen to us are temporary. But what God has for us, how many know that's permanent? That's eternal. You don't have to carry that weight. How many thank Jesus for delivering us? You don't have to live with that mindset that you're damaged goods forever. There's a whole generation being sold that. How about Revelation 21:4, a promise. It says, God will wipe away every tear from your eyes. There'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. And look at this, no more pain. Say, Pastor, I have pain now. Yeah, but hang in there, honey. Either he's going to come before you go, or you're going to go before he comes. I hate to make it that so simple for you, but it's rapture or rupture, my friend. Your pain is temporary. So temporarily, you need to go into another dimension. Get out of the mindset that is defeated and depressed and always down, and get into the truth of God's word that says, if he tarries, I'm still going to be all right. Because God's for me. And if God's for me, who can be against me? Hey, pain's going to be gone forever someday. Sooner or later, your pain will come to an end when your praise begins. So your current pain can't compare to your future glory. And your past pain can't cancel out your future promise. So just praise the Lord. I said there's a purpose, so just praise the Lord. Learn how to praise the Lord. It's temporary. Your pain has an expiration date. Have you ever been to kids' camp or youth camp and eat at the cafeteria? You go by the milk compartment. All of them are out of date. All of them. I don't know when they got the little buckets of milk, but they're all out of date. God help them. Supernaturally, God maybe helps our babies to drink some good milk, but it's out of date. And how many know very soon your pain's going to have an expiration date? Could be today. I said you could have it today to make up your mind whether you're going to harp on your pain or herald out a praise. So go ahead and learn to praise the Lord anyway. What am I saying? Hang in there with me. You can't use your trauma from the past to justify your sinful behavior in the present. Satan's trying to render you hopeless. He's wanting to get you to lose heart. Why should I pray? And why should I try? Why should I keep serving the Lord? Why should I keep praising all he's done? Kind of like Naomi, remember? Call me Mara, for the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. But her real name was Pleasant, Naomi. Satan lied to her and she believed the lie. How many know God knows how to change your name, to change your perspective, your perception, to change your faith perspective? And when you lose hope, your praise shuts down. And there are those who use their past pain as a crutch. Oh, the reason I'm messed up today is because my mom dropped me on my head. You know, because lucky she dropped you on your head, it might have hurt you if she dropped you somewhere else. How many know your head is hard? Turn to your neighbor and say, you got a hard head. You're hard-headed. Tell them. I think about Mephibosheth trying to get out of the house. The nurse was carrying him, running out, and fell and tripped and dropped him. And he was crippled for all his life. But at the end of his life, how many know he had a place at the king's table? That's what I'm talking about. You know, he was in Lodabar, a dry place, a desert place. But David, King David said, you send for Jonathan's grandson, and you tell him to come to my place. I've got a place at my table. I know he's been through some pain, but I've got something for him. Crippled, he made his way over to the palace, and nobody looked under the table to see his feet were all crippled up. I mean, your feet could be crippled, but your heart could be pure. Your body doesn't matter. Your mind, your spirit. How many know God wants to help you and make it all the way? If you have to crawl, you can crawl your way into the kingdom. Well, Pastor, I'm a Christian, but I can't get over my trauma. I'm a victim of my circumstances. No, you're a victor over your circumstance. You ever hear people say, well, how you doing? Oh, well, under the circumstances. Well, there's your first problem. You shouldn't be under the circumstances. How many know it's time for you to get over the circumstances? It's time for you to look higher. Time for you to go to another level. It's time for you to lift your eyes above your problem and let God, seated with Christ in heavenly places, looking down in praise instead of up in pain. So I don't want to downplay your trauma, but you can. I said you can praise your way through. When you're born again, old things are passed away, and behold, God does a new thing. Amen? So I thank God for Christian people. But that lie that you're permanently damaged, that your wounds are permanent, and that you're not, that you're out of alignment with God's will and His word, that your trauma will define you because you're wounded for life, the devil is a liar. The Bible says he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. Surely he bore my sorrow. Anybody ever heard that? And by his stripes we're healed. I said we're healed. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, we have a different perspective. We got to get a hold of the cross. Somebody needs to realize what God did. Those who say that you're permanently wounded have never met Jesus. He crushed my iniquities. I said, he, by his wounds, I'm healed. It don't say one day I'll be healed. It says you're present day healed. Healing is here. I said, healing is here. It's not just a heat wave out there. How many know there's a healing wave out here? Healing is here. I know because Isaiah said we're healed, but Peter said are healed. Because Isaiah was looking in the back toward the cross. So he's saying, and Peter was looking forward back to the cross. We are healed by his stripes. You don't have to live in that pain. And I can't imagine what our generation's going through today. It burdens me. But Jesus wants to heal your past and your present wounds of your mind. Heal your body. Heal your relationships. Heal your joy, your peace. He wants to bring your dreams to reality. He wants to heal your thoughts. He wants to heal your marriage. He wants to heal. How many know it's God's will to heal? Anybody still believe in healing? Okay, I thought you lost me for a minute there. I lost you for a minute. Spirit of God, come like the dawn. Isaiah said, come like the dawn. Bring healing. Now, I want to address the Elisha generation. I believe you're the generation that will usher revival in, change the world for God. So listen to me, young people, young couples. Why do you think Satan is attacking this generation so much? I mean, he's intentional, and Satan is purposeful. He's got a strategy and a plan, and he's attacking this generation. I believe it's because he knows you're anointed. I said, I believe God knows this generation is anointed. Our kids, our grandkids, how many know they have something to face? We can't let them down. We need to encourage them. We need to believe. We need to teach them how to pray. Teach them how to praise. Teach them how to go through hardships and pain. We haven't seen nothing yet. If they can't praise him now, how are they going to get the courage to praise him when things really start happening? He's attacking this generation. He hates this generation because they're anointed, because they're favored, because they're gifted, because they're blessed. They are not Jabez. They are Judah. It's time to change them from Jabez, pain, to Judah, which means praise. It's time to tell them you are gifted and anointed. Chosen with purpose. You are the generation that's going to usher in revival. You are the people that's going to bring the church to the greatest. Does anybody believe that? He hates this generation. They've been through everything already. I can't even imagine. I've only served the Lord 43 years. And I went through some of it with them, but man, they've been born, ordained, created. In a generation filled with 9/11? 9/11 generation? Wow. Technology advancement generation? Wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, COVID pandemic, chaos, Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. I mean, hello. It's a lot of stuff. I don't ever know what happened out of that. I can't hardly even speak your language. It's so different. There's so many changes these days. So much change. You know, we had Lunchables for our kids, and now you have charcuterie boards. I mean, it's the same, right? But different. So it's all presentation, right? I mean, the church has not rightly told this next generation their true position in the Lord. By faith, we are going to win. We are the people of God. We are Pentecostal, Spirit-filled, purpose-driven, prophetic people of God. And what Satan wants to throw at us, we're going to stop it and pray and praise our way through because we are overcomers. By faith, they overcame. How? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Hey, we're going to make it. Can you shout at men? We're going to make it. Although you've had trauma, don't believe Satan's lie that it's permanent. It's a lie. Jesus is greater than your trauma and your wounds. Your future's better. Your testimony is more powerful than your trauma. That's what I believe. So open your mouth and give God a praise. You don't have to settle for second best. You don't have to eat crumbs under the table when God has a place. Amen? So we're overcomers. The word of our testimony. I want you to say this with me, church. My anointing is greater than my anxiety. Come on, anybody believe that? We have seen a hypersensitive, emotional culture since COVID that everybody's so on eggshells, can't even say a word, so sensitive. Just go to Lowe's, get a ladder, and get over it. Don't let your anxiety take over. Don't let anxiety. You are anointed. Act anointed, live anointed, speak anointed, walk anointed. My faith, say this with me, my faith is greater than my fears. You got to change the way you think. You change your thinking, it'll change your language. And if you change your language, you'll change the culture you're in. It'll do something. It'll help you. And heaven I'm heading to is greater than the hell I've been through. I don't think you're understanding what I'm saying. You can't park in your past failures. You can't park by your past resentments. You got to let the former things go. I mean, old things have must be passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You got to praise your way. But the lesson today, listen, parents, never let unresolved parental pain define your kids. Not for them. Don't put that on them. And for that matter, your dreams. Dream your own dream. Let them dream their dream. Come on. And never let unresolved parental pain define your children. So mama called him pain, took her pain and put it on Jabez. It wasn't his. She transferred it over. But God. The Bible says he cried out to God and said, Lord, bless me. It reminds me of Jacob. Remember Esau? and the birthright, and Jacob got the birthright, and Esau came back, and he said, I'm sorry, Isaac said, I gave it over to Jacob already, and you sold your birthright for a bowl of deer stew. How many remember that story? Is that how cheap your salvation experience is? To sell it for a bowl of soup? You wanted to go hunting so bad that you forgot the birthright at the altar? Hey, it's going to hit you. One day you're going to wake up, it's going to hit you in the face. How many know you better get a hold of this thing today? Somebody needs to hear the preacher this morning. What does it mean? He cried out to his father, Esau, Father, is there not a blessing for me? Do you hear the pain in this generation? Do you hear these students, these boys, these sons and daughters crying out to the fathers? You have anything left for me? And so, if she can transfer her pain to her next gen, Jabez, then God help me transfer my praise to the next generation. How many know I can have kids and grandkids? I'm not going to call them Jabez. I'm going to call them Judah. I wish somebody would help me praise the Lord right now. Call this next generation the Judah generation. The generation that praises the Lord. Woo, I can't believe God's going to help us to raise up a generation. It's time to move into praise. And today, we put an end to carrying your parents' pain. We stop carrying your family's pain. Anger addiction's gone. Whatever addiction, it's not for you. That darkness is coming to a close. Can somebody say amen? No more multi-generational pain and curse. Spirit of God is here to empower you, to deliver you from every label and every weight that somebody put on you. Mama put pain on you, but Jesus is going to take the pain off. Somebody violated you. Somebody hurt you. Somebody, and you weren't looking for justice. How many know Jesus is our justice? Redemption, mercy, grace. Is anybody thankful? Amen. The Spirit of God is here to empower us. All that baggage has to go. Whatever lie they told you, whatever limitation they placed on you, in the mighty name of Jesus, let it come off. Supernaturally, right now, God. Somebody's carrying trauma that you don't need to carry. Today is the last day. It's time for a new change, a name change. Somebody shout glory. Somebody's about to reclaim a Judah moment. Whoever called you Jabez, I call you Judah. Judah means praise. Jabez means pain. I call you praise. Whoever said you weren't worth nothing, I say you're worth everything. Whoever said you wouldn't make it, they lied. I say you're going to make it. Whoever transferred religious pain over to you, making you grow up in a traumatized church, they lied to you. Let me tell you, religion, I curse religion in the name of Jesus. Religion is bondage, but relationship with Jesus Christ is freedom. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I feel like preaching. I know I'm out of time, but can I finish? Today we're going to break the curse. God let the curse of religion be broken in my life, and the authority of God's word came into me, and he changed my name, changed my character, changed my heritage, changed my future. Yes, my family was not like the previous set. It doesn't make me greater than anybody. It just puts me on a trajectory toward heaven, because where I was going was not heaven. And if you haven't come to grips with that, you need to get a hold of that. Because you only have one of two choices. It's heaven or hell, folks. The old timers used to preach it like that. Hell hot and heaven happy. You stand between the two. Whoever transferred religious pain to you, I'm sorry they did that. We're going to break it into pieces this morning. Don't let your kids get that. Break it now, mama. Break that cycle, daddy. Show your kids and your grandkids that in the midst of your pain, you can give God the highest praise. Jabez no longer defined by pain. Judah defines him now. Judah, does somebody here need a name change? Judah. Let me close with Revelation 2:17. To him who overcomes, I will give a hidden manna, that is a word from God, and a white stone, a testimony of purity. And a new name. Your name is not Jacob, it's Israel. Your name is not Jabez, it's Judah. Your name is praise, not pain. Victory, not defeat. Praise God for the victory. Your name is not bondage, it's freedom. Your name is not hate, it's love. Your name is not wicked, it's righteous. Your name is not addicted, it's anointed. Is anybody getting this? If your name is not broken, your name is blessed.